Welcome back here with Dave and Faisal. You're listening to News Talk 770 and More Than Money, and we're here with a couple of great guests this afternoon, and we're going to talk about seniorpreneurship or entrepreneurship or whatever word we're going to coin this afternoon.
Did you just make up a word?
I'm trying.
Look at you.
Right? We'll see.
Making up your own
if
language.
If Webster's picks it up, we've been successful.
There you go.
Okay. Michael Houlihan and Bonnie Harvey, co-founders of Barefoot Wines, joining us today. Thank you both for taking some time to join us.
Oh, thank you. We're delighted to be here. Happy to be talking to your listeners, Dave and Faisal.
Terrific. So let's talk a little bit about entrepreneurship. I know you're on a bit of a tour here, and you've been speaking to many groups about entrepreneurship. But I want to start with your own, entrance into being entrepreneurs, and that was back in 1986. Tell us a little bit about why wines.
Well, Bonnie, do you want to take that?
Well, it wasn't something that we chose. Neither of us were really wine drinkers, but I had a client that was owed a good deal of money for some grapes, and we ended up being the ones to be responsible for making a trade for bulk wine and bottling services. Then we had to exchange that or trade it in to make cash to pay back the grower. So that's the short story of how we kind of fell backwards into the wine industry.
All right, so it wasn't some romantic love of wines that took you in there, and, you know, it was out of necessity.
Yes, absolutely. So sometimes you have to follow your opportunity passionately instead of following your passion.
Yeah, no doubt.
So Michael, there's been a lot of individuals nowadays that are transitioning to or living in retirement. They don't know what they want to do with their retirement. They want to go into a bit more of maybe even to running their own business, maybe running their own vineyard as well too. So what are your thoughts in regards to transitioning away from the traditional sense of working into more of an entrepreneurial role? What are your thoughts in regards to that, Michael?
Well, I guess we resemble that remark. We were retired. We built our business up. We sold it. And we were sitting around looking at each other and going, you know, what now? We wanted to keep our brains going. We wanted to keep our bodies going. We wanted to, more importantly, feel that we were making a contribution in the world. And I think that's what really hurts people once they retire. They feel completely isolated. They feel like nobody cares about what they have to say anymore. But what we found is that there's a whole lot of young people who are looking for advice and guidance and mentorship in various different technologies and industries that your listeners may be part of. And they should go to their junior colleges and they should go to their universities and just say, hey, you know, I was a machinist for 35 years. I retired. I understand how to do that job. You've got any people in there that need any mentoring, starting a business or what have you, I'd be happy to either donate my time or actually work for a fee. So what we've done is we've taken our experience, which was to build a giant brand, but now it's the largest wine brand in the world. And, of course, we took a lot of hits doing that. And so we're down here in Lethbridge talking to the University of Lethbridge, and we're talking to young people about the mistakes we made that they might avoid. So that's an example of how you can use your experience to start a new business.
Bonnie, what was your most spectacular mistake?
Oh, my gosh, there were so many. I don't know. I think to really sum it up, our biggest mistake is we thought because we had a cute label, we had a great slogan, get barefoot and have a great time, we had a wonderful price, we had a gold medal product, that it would just sell like hotcakes and that would really take care of it. And that wasn't the case at all. We really had to learn the distribution management system. We had to understand how to get our product through the distribution channel, through the retailers. We had to make sure that it was on the shelf, and we had to know how to do everybody's job and be willing and able to do it in order to keep our product on the shelf. It turns out that once we were on the shelf, we sold out very quickly, so it had to be replaced a lot. Well, if it wasn't replaced, then we'd lose shelf space.
Right.
So one of our biggest problems was being a fast seller.
Well, that's a good. If you got to choose a problem, I'm thinking that's probably the one that you want.
Well, once you realize that's the real problem, you have to have your own sales representative out there in the marketplace making sure that the product is on the shelf. Then you've really making good use of that lesson. You're making good use of that mistake and assuming somebody else is going to put it on the shelf instead of you.
So, Michael, when I sent this note out to a few of our clients and friends out there that we're going to have you guys on the show, the one question that came to me over and over again was, what three things would you do differently if you were to start all over again?
Oh, you mean only three?
Yeah, only three. Your top three. How's that?
Okay, well, I think the first thing I would have done differently is instead of thinking that I was in the wine business, or for your listeners, any business that you think you're in, I would have started off with a different attitude. I would have said, you know, no matter what business I'm in, you know, whether it's wine or selling hammers, you know, there's really three core competencies here, and that's cash flow management, got to pay your bills, and it's personnel management, got to keep people from leaving and taking your technology and taking your customers with them. And then it's sales management, which means that you, as Bonnie said, you got to get it all the way to the market. So that was our first big mistake. And we're going to do that differently next time, as we say. The second thing that I would have done differently is I would have realized the power of working with the community sooner. When we first started, we were freaked out because we didn't know how we were going to get the word out about our product. But then we discovered that working with nonprofits gave the members of the nonprofits a social reason to buy our product, which created more loyalty. But, you know, that took us a few years to really understand. And then the third thing that we would have done differently is we would have started small so we could have made all our mistakes. And, you know, everybody's going to make a mistake. But we would have done it in a small area, you know, so we could drive around town hat in hand and apologize to everybody instead of trying to go to New York or Ottawa and apologize to people. And as it was, we started a couple of markets like Hawaii and Washington that we couldn't manage. We had to pull out. Because, you know, we were making mistakes. We thought that we could sell our product without a representative in the field. So, yeah, we would have done a lot of things differently.
So here's an interesting question, because I'm going to fast forward to that seniorpreneur group. So a lot of these people have tremendous experience and tremendous knowledge in their particular area. What's the difference between being an employee and starting your own business?
Well, one thing is all the total responsibility that's on starting your own business. An employee thinks that the money comes from the boss, comes from the owner. Well, it really doesn't. It comes from sales.
Right.
So there's oftentimes not a big pile of money out in the back that goes to pay everyone's salary. What you really have to do is encourage your staff to help make sales, and that's how your company makes more money, and that's how you can put more money into their pockets as well.
Well, wait a second, Bonnie. I get to be my own boss, right? I've got the freedom. I can work part-time now, right?
Oh, sure you can. Sure, you can work part-time, but you're not going to get paid for it. You're not going to get any benefits.
Well, part-time meaning only 12 hours a day, right?
Well, that's what it was for us, yes.
Yeah, I think that you know, Faisal, we talk about that, and there is a different mentality that somebody has to take into being a business owner versus, you know, showing up for work every day. And not to diminish the fact that there aren't terrific employees, but there is a different side and a responsibility to that owning the business, because you don't just get to do the fun stuff, right? So, Michael, what's the stuff that you're going to need to kind of keep your thumb on as a business owner to make sure that this thing continues to sing? I think you've touched on some of them, but what's the stuff that maybe you don't enjoy? You're going into the wine business, you love wine, but oh boy, I spent a lot of time doing this.
Well, the thing is, whenever you're selling a consumer product, you wind up having to do everybody's job between you and the downstream, you know, end user consumer. And so what we mean here is, you know, what we had to do is we had to go to our distributors, and then we had to do things at our distributorship that was really their job. Then we had to go and sell retailers for our distributor. So we'd basically say, here you go, free money. We've sold this account for you. Please keep it up to date. Please service this account. Then you'd have to go back and service it yourself, because many times they wouldn't. Then you'd go to the retailer and you'd sell the retailer, but, you know, maybe his clerk wouldn't reorder it. So you had to go into each retail store and make sure the clerk understood why it was so important to reorder it and how important he was to you. So these are the kinds of real nitty-gritty, dirt-under-the-fingernails jobs that we had to do. You know, we thought wine, oh boy, isn't that great? You know, stemware and hold your pinky out and sniff, swirl, and sip and talk about mid-notes and finish. Forget about it. Now you're talking to people in warehouses and grocery stores, and, yeah. You know, it's... it's a whole different world. Like we say, we could have been selling hammers.
I think that takes some of the romance out of it, and it sets the tone that you better be prepared to get your hands dirty. That's terrific. You know, 10 minutes goes by very quickly. We're going to have to wrap it up on this segment. I want to thank you both for joining us today and sharing your experience.
Oh, absolutely. It's our pleasure.
So Michael Houlihan and Bonnie Harvey were the co-founders of Barefoot Wines, and they've shared their experience. For anybody that's interested in going into business, I think there was some pearls there. Now, listen, I want to remind everybody before we end this segment about the upcoming Wealthy and Wise Women's Series, and that's continuing on February the 18th at
6 p.m. at the Craft Beer.
That's right, and you're going to be speaking at it again, I think, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about it as if you're getting into business. So women going into business for the first time or already business owners, what are the tips and tactics and ideas and risks that you take on? And we're going to have a great time talking about that, and you can join us by basically giving us a registration note at CanadianBusinessChicks.com. Send your registration requirements there, and they'll set you up for a nice craft beer and some great conversation.
Yeah, well, the last one was real good. That's terrific. I want to encourage you to join us after the break. We're going to have some tips about getting back into dating just in time for Valentine's Day. You're on News Talk 770 and More Than Money.